Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. It is a Tuesday ACC Hoops show. We have a lot to get into. We're recording this Monday night, so we literally just watched NC State Louisville, Duke Miami. A lot to break down there. I am hyped up. I have the adrenaline going, Mac. I might not get to sleep very early tonight because I just had so much fun. I had both screens up. I was watching every minute of the action.
You had a couple of sunshines in each hand. You know, the steaks cooking out on the
sunshine.
Traeger. We're ready to go to watch some basketball. Let me tell you guys a little bit about Traeger before we get started. They are the only wood-fired outdoor grill that smokes, grills, barbecues, and even bakes. I used to think that there were different grills for different types of things, or at least that we're good at that. Traeger does it all, and it does it better. That's why Traeger is the official grill of the Gramlich and McLean podcast. The fact is, guys, nothing beats the flavor of cooked food over pure wood fire. There are endless possibilities on your Traeger, and it's so easy to use. Guys, every time I use it, I feel like a barbecue pro. Find your local Traeger dealer today by visiting TraegerGrills.com/ACC. Once you've browsed around their site, you've selected your pellet grill of your dreams, use our code ACCSports for free shipping on your entire order.
Free shipping, let's go. That is a big deal. That's going to save you guys a lot of money. So make sure you use that code ACCSports. And Mac, as I've said, we have so much hoops to talk today. Also on our Thursday episode this week, we have a pretty exciting guest. This weekend is the first Duke-UNC matchup. We're going to talk about that in our Big Three presented by Sunshine. To help us break down this Duke-UNC matchup, we will talk with the one and only Carlos Boozer on Thursday to preview that game. We can't wait. Booz is true. You know, you hear this, Mac. You hear, oh, that guy is so nice. You know, you hear that. Carlos Boozer is truly one of the nicest people I have ever met in my life. So I can't wait for that.
I can 100% attest to that and agree with you. We got to hang out with him actually at Duke, the greatest place to ever hang out with a guy named Carlos Boozer, maybe there, Chicago. And it was a ton of fun.
Or Utah.
That's right. Or Utah. Got to play some hoops with him in Cameron Indoor. Was really amazing just to meet him in person and such a great guy. All right, Kelly, we have a ton of stuff that happened in hoops last week. Let's start on the women's side, though, and what we just saw. Number one, Louisville goes down, and it was kind of a beatdown in the second half to number four, NC State. That was 74 NC State, 60 Louisville. I mean, wow. NC State, should they be number one in the country? They have two wins over number one teams. Both of them, this was what was impressive to me, both of those wins on the road. Kelly, tell me what you saw.
NC State should be the number one team in the country, Mac, to answer your question. They now have wins over South Carolina and Louisville, the first team to beat two number one teams since, I believe, on the broadcast they said the Stanford team in 2008. They got both those wins on the road, Mac. That's huge. And look, I picked Louisville to win this game. Just cards on the table. I did. Mainly because, A, I thought Louisville...
Hold on. Did you do that on purpose? Cards on the table? Was that a punny joke, Mac? That's good.
I didn't even think about that. Oh, man. Look at you. You think I'm funnier than I am. This is why we're a good partner.
You know.
Louisville looked really good all year, and I really like their offensive balance. Van Lith was scoring the ball, Cochran, Kiana Smith. I said on ACC Network, I thought Kiana Smith was going to be the X factor because she had been kind of quiet lately. And she struggled tonight. 8 points, 3 of 11 shooting. She wasn't her normal self. Dana Evans did everything she possibly could do. 29 points for Dana. She was excellent. This is actually the first time Louisville has ever lost when Dana has scored 20 or more points. So think about that. But Louisville was all Dana. NC State was all balance. Kunane scored 16. Jada Boyd scored 16. Brown Turner scored 16. Reyna Perez, the transfer point guard, had 15 and 3 assists. She also made 3 threes. NC State is one of the most balanced teams in the country. And the key in this game, which we all thought was going to be a key, I just thought Louisville was going to handle it better, was rebounding, the glass. NC State won the rebounding battle 44-29. That is incredibly impressive. They also were excellent on the offensive glass. Louisville only had 6 offensive rebounds. If Louisville did not score on their first shot, they weren't scoring because NC State was just cleaning the glass. And we have to give a ton of props, Mac, to Elisa Cunane. Some of you guys might know this. I don't know. I'll just say it. I recently had COVID and I'm fine now. I'm good to go. Cunane recently had COVID. I don't know if we got it at the same time or what. I don't know what the timeline was. I cannot imagine playing in a basketball game right now after having COVID. I feel good, but I've been out for the count. You know, I haven't really been able to do much. And so it's just incredible what she was able to do. I'm just blown away by her. NC State, Westmore had a great game plan. They really took Louisville out of transition. That was huge because Louisville's so good in transition. NC State was not going to let that happen. Amazing job by the Wolfpack. Rank them number one. That's where they should be this time next week.
Come on, AP poll voters. If you're listening to this podcast, you've got to do it. We try
they
to tell you
don't
with football.
Listen, we bash them
you don't
the time,
listen. The, you know, I don't know. The voters obviously are different, but come on, you got to pay attention to us. I want to revisit something that you said about Dana Evans and the fact that this is Louisville's first loss with her scoring 20 plus. Really, I think it's kind of an outlier in itself, you know, figuratively and just kind of why and how it happened. She was on fire for her team. And really, the fourth quarter, no one else could score. So she said, hey, it's Dana time. I have to take over.
Dana
and that's
time.
Why she had a bulk of their points. And obviously, just not enough. The score, a little bit better in the fourth quarter, 25-16. But it was rough there for a little bit. Louisville just could not score the ball. Let's talk about Georgia Tech a little bit. Let's move over to the Yellow Jackets. They have three games this week that if they win those, Kelly, they'll be feeling really, really good.
They will. They play Syracuse on Tuesday tonight, which is going to be a big game for Georgia Tech. That's actually in our big three because that's a really huge game for tournament implications. Then they play Clemson on Thursday night, and then they play Wake Forest on Sunday. Big three games here for Georgia Tech. All three of those teams, I think, are tournament teams or at least possibly tournament teams. And Georgia Tech right now is receiving votes. If they win all three of those, they will be ranked, which would be really good for the league. And that's why this Georgia Tech-Syracuse matchup Tuesday night is going to be super important.
Yeah, and you've got to think, and we'll talk about it more, but whatever team wins that game, you got to think if they obviously handle business throughout the week, either one of those teams eventually be ranked. Speaking of ranked teams, number one, Louisville, just went down. Number four, NC State, just won that game. Maybe they flip-flop. It'll be interesting to see what the AP voters do there. And then receiving votes, like Kelly just said, Georgia Tech, Syracuse, and Virginia Tech. So I think there's some interesting things on the women's side. See how they come to fruition. Let's move to the men's side, where we have number 14, Virginia, who just got killed by number 16, Virginia Tech. Number 20, Florida State, who just lost to Georgia Tech. And then receiving votes, we have Louisville, UNC, and Georgia Tech. Let's start with a couple of games that we saw today, or yesterday, excuse me. Georgia Tech, Louisville. Louisville wins 74, Georgia Tech 58. Was an interesting game. One thing that I thought was really cool to see was two teammates, David Johnson, Samuel Williamson, 20 and 10 plus points and rebounds since our guys Montrell Harrell and Terry Rozier. Kelly, what'd you see from that game?
Here's what happened with both Duke Miami and Georgia Tech Louisville. I think I've always thought it's unfair to make these teams play Saturday and then play Monday, especially when they're playing that Monday game on the road. And that's what Duke had to do, and that's what Georgia Tech had to do. I know that Monday is a really good TV slot, so that's why it happens. But think about this, Mac. Georgia Tech played Florida State, I believe it was 4 p.m. on Saturday. Then they turn around and play at Louisville at 2 p.m. on Monday. And the reason why the game was so early is because they had a women's game that night that had been rescheduled. So they probably would have played that at night. So that's less time for Georgia Tech to recover. And then same thing with Duke. You play at noon on Saturday, and then you got to get on a plane, go to Miami. You have literally zero time to prepare for that opponent. So I think that's ridiculous. I think we need to fix that. It's not fair to the student athletes. But the really good teams can find a way to win those games. And I didn't really expect Georgia Tech to go on the road to Louisville because they play seven players. That's just going to be brutal. But Duke should be at a position right now as a program where they don't go lose to Miami. Miami, who has players hurt left and right, doesn't have its best player in Chris Likes, is kicking players off the team and people are just leaving. Like this program is in shambles. And Duke goes down there and loses. That's a lack of maturity. It's a lack of focus. Duke was creeping back into the tournament in the tournament discussion, Mac. They were in the first four out. Now you move way back down because that is a terrible loss for Duke. just a lack of maturity for Duke. I think more for Georgia Tech, they were exhausted. They play seven players, super quick turnaround. For Duke, you have enough depth where you should go win that game.
It was a very tough game to watch, if you know what I'm talking about, guys. It just wasn't
should
great
have been
basketball.
Watching Louisville, NC State,
right, exactly. Or if you have two screens, you just mute one, turn it way down, and maybe scoot it off to the side. And that was the Duke-Miami game. It was just an interesting game. So let's move on to a couple other teams. Virginia Tech, man, did they make a statement against Notre Dame? And then, of course, Virginia. I think Mike Young has pretty much solidified himself as ACC Coach of the Year. And one thing that I want to bring up before you move into some of the analysis on this team, what Coach Young said about Tyrese Radford was really, really cool. He wasn't tossing a player to the side. He wasn't throwing a player away, saying he's a distraction. He's wasting his opportunity. He said he needs help. We're not going to turn our backs on him, and we're going to be with him here every step of the way. And that's what you need in the college game on every sport, on every level. And that was really cool to hear that. So huge kudos to Coach Mike Young. And, you know, hopefully Tyrese can go accordingly and do the necessary steps and be back with his team sooner than later.
Mac, really well said. I was moved when I saw that from Mike Young. And everybody that I've spoken to, I've met Mike Young before when I did a Wofford game. And I've told you my story with him, how he took the time after the game to message me and tell me that he thought I had a future in broadcasting. I just, like, who does that, Mac? Every story I've heard about Mike Young, it talks about his character and how much he cares for these young people. And so you just love to root for a guy like that. And then on the court, his team plays such a fun brand of basketball. Such a fun brand of basketball. I know that, look, we look at the Virginia-Virginia Tech game and we say, oh, Virginia, like, they disappointed us. But really, Virginia Tech just brought it. Virginia Tech shot Virginia out of the gym. And here is a hot take, Mac. And I'm sorry to the Clemson fans listening. Virginia Tech looks like what Clemson should look like with the way they play. They play four out, one in. They play four out, Keve Aluma in. They have shooters all around Keve Aluma. They have tough veteran guards that guard the ball. And Virginia Tech does it perfectly. Their shooters are knocking down shots, and Keve Aluma is arguably, I know you love Champagne, Mac, Keve Aluma is the best player in the ACC top to bottom.
Whoa,
because,
come on.
Because he can battle inside. He's scoring over Jay Huff. He's scoring over Sam Hauser. He's going to dunk on you. But he has the ability, which a lot of these hybrid four guys do not have, where he can catch the ball on the three-point line, and he can put the ball on the deck and take you to the basket. He had one dunk on Sam Hauser that was downright disrespectful. I love what I'm seeing from Virginia Tech.
Come on. I think a lot of people do, and really excited to see their progression and really just the entire ACC. It's almost like we're just beating each other up, right?
Yeah,
we don't have a top 10 team. We can't keep a top 10
team.
It's
so unpredictable.
Yeah, it's parity everywhere you look, and then maybe come tournament time, you see that a conference like that really stand tall, and you see why they're so good. Speaking of the tournament, I want to get some bracketology with Kelly Gramlich real quick.
Oh.
We know Syracuse is always a bubble
team.
They always, at the end of the year, find their way somehow in. Between Georgia Tech and Duke, who do you think between those two teams could find themselves, at least on the bubble? I'm not going to say either are in, but really fighting for one of those last couple of spots.
Oh, gosh. Are we putting Syracuse in there, too?
I'm assuming Cuse is in because of the nature of history.
Well, okay. Let's look at Syracuse. So just from a net rating look right now, Syracuse is 51st in the net rating. Georgia Tech is 55th. Duke is 62nd.
So I think you might have just answered my question.
But here's the thing. It's not all net rating. And none of those are great. Like, you don't feel great about that. To feel really good about an at-large bid, you kind of have to be in the top 60 for sure, but top 50, you'd feel better. And then when you look at a team like Syracuse, they don't have a quad one win. Duke doesn't have a quad one win, but Georgia Tech has that signature win over Florida State. Now, the issue for Georgia Tech is they have bad losses in the non-conference. They lost to Mercer. They lost to Georgia State in like quadruple overtime. So they're really hurting themselves with those bad losses, even though Duke lost to Miami tonight, which was just a horrific loss. Horrific. It can't happen. I still think Duke has the best chance of those three to make the tournament. And, of course, I could see Syracuse sneaking in. I love Georgia Tech. I love watching them play. But I'm just worried because they have those bad losses in the non-conference.
I love that. And I love the reasoning. I love to dive in there and hear who has the best chance, who doesn't. How about another team really quick before we move on to our big three breakdown brought to you by our great friends at Sunshine? North Carolina. They have a big week this week. I think they are on fire. Their guards are figuring it out. They have big men that are playing out of their minds. Armando Bacot playing really, really well right now. Tell me what you need to see from UNC these next two games.
UNC just needs to keep on winning. And they, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. What they have been doing since the turn of the calendar is they're taking better shots. They're chucking up less threes. They're taking opportune threes with their young guards. Kerwin Walton shooting the ball well. But they're pounding it inside. They're using their bigs. They have some of the best bigs in the country. Bacot, Brooks, Sharp, all these guys. And they rebound the ball so well. So just keep doing what you're doing, especially against the Clemson team tonight. Look, Clemson is undersized. I'm worried about that rebounding margin for the Tigers. I think UNC just keep racking up wins. And, you know, you can't look past Clemson, though, and look ahead to Duke. I think that's going to be a big key. And we'll talk about that in the speed round as well, Mac.
I love that, Kelly. And before we get to the Sunshine breakdown, I just want to bring up one more time the fact that UNC is playing at an all-time high. Kelly, tell us about our great friends over at Sunshine before we dive into this.
It is the start of a new week, and you're busy. You're on the go. You want an easy, delicious boost, but you don't want to overload on caffeine. Y'all may think I'm overloaded on caffeine right now because I'm talking so fast because I'm so excited to be talking about basketball. But really, I'm just drinking water, as Matt can see. So it doesn't really make sense. But I had a Sunshine at lunch today during the radio show. I had the pomegranate acai flavor, which was delightful. So Sunshine has come out with their sparkling energy waters. These will change your life. Zero sugar, zero calories, great flavors. Pomegranate acai, which I had today. Lotus pear, which is Max Jam. Citrus lime, delicious. So forget the boost and crash cycle. You want that feel-good energy. Get Sunshine today at your local Publix, QT, or even better, go online at drinkthesunshine.com and use our code ACC10 at checkout to save 10% on your order. And go vote in our Sunshine poll of the week this week on Twitter.
Come on, Kelly. I tell you what, it's been so fun to just see with the poll and with, you know, the winners and different things that we've had. We had a couple of listeners to the podcast messaging in saying, hey, where can I find this up in Boston? And I said, hey, I don't know if they're in the grocery stores up there, but if you go to this website, you can get whatever you want and
order
get 10% off. That's right. Use our code there, as Kelly said. So it's been fun to see kind of the demographics of the Sunshine. And, you know, we're just trying to cover the USA in a little Sunshine beverage. That's all we're trying to do.
If you try it, you will like it.
That's
I have
right.
not met a single person that I've recommended to that's actually tried it that has not liked it.
No question about it. All right, Kelly, let's dive into our big three. North Carolina at Duke, Saturday, 6 p.m. on ESPN. Listen, you and I both agree this is the biggest, best, most interesting, fun rivalry in all of sports. When you see the breakdown, the margin of victory, most of the time it's even. The wins are even. It's the craziest thing in sports. I really think that this game in particular, for reasons that you do as well, is going to be so exciting because there's so much to lose in this game.
Mac, that's a great way to put it. Most of the time, both teams have so much to gain. But this year, weirdly enough, both teams have so much to lose. And, you know, Brian Ives gave us this stat. This is the first time since 1960 that both Duke and UNC are playing each other while unranked.
Which is the same year that UNC, Duke, Kentucky all not ranked, which they're all not ranked
right.
again this year. There's so many weird things
mm-hmm.
about 1960 and 2021. It's the weirdest thing ever. And another stat that you had here, the fact that Duke and UNC are two of the three teams in the country where freshmen have scored more than half of their points. And guess who the third is, who actually leads everybody? UK. We see where all three of these teams are. UNC in a little bit different boat. Just because they're trending upward. But it's weird when you look at these teams. Let's focus on North Carolina a little bit more. What are you seeing from them specifically rebounding, Kelly?
Look, Mac, you take a risk when you put your fate of your team in the hands of 12-year-olds. You know, this is what happens, okay? And we're seeing it on a lot of these teams. But North Carolina has a good balance of young and old because their big guys inside are not young. Well, Sharp is, but Bacot and Brooks have been around the block a few times. We talk about North Carolina and their rebounding. One thing that I love about UNC is that they have an identity. They know who they are. There's so many teams in the ACC right now that just flat out do not know who they are. North Carolina is going to be physical with you. They're going to out-rebound you. They're going to get second chance points. They're going to set the tone in the paint. That's what they do. And if the guards make shots, they can run away with the game. If the guards don't make shots, they're still going to be in a game because they rebound the ball. North Carolina is grabbing 41% of their misses. That means every other time that UNC shoots the ball, basically every other time, they grab the offensive board. They give themselves a second chance. They're scoring nearly 17 second chance points per game. That is so hard to defend and keep up with because the reality is most teams just don't have that kind of size. Armando Bacot has been awesome recently. He looks like their best player right now. He looks better than Garrison Brooks, who was the preseason ACC Player of the Year. And so that's my main question with Duke is, can they be physical enough inside with North Carolina? Mark Williams is a freshman for them. He's been playing better as of late, but he's really the only guy with enough size to truly compete down low. Jalen Johnson is a great athlete, but he's still only 6'9". Matthew Hurt would rather play more outside of the perimeter. So can Duke rebound with North Carolina? Can they force some UNC turnovers? Because sometimes North Carolina's best offense is just to shoot the ball and get their own rebound. So can you disrupt UNC offensively? I'm leaning North Carolina in this game. It's at Duke. I want to say that should matter, but it doesn't really. I hate that we don't have fans. But I just think it's going to be tough for Duke to compete with UNC on the glass.
Yeah, and sadly enough, I'm with you. I think it's almost a no-brainer that we're going with North Carolina. It's a rivalry game, though. Crazy stuff happened. Carlos Boozer's coming on Thursday, if you guys remember, as Kelly said at the beginning of this episode. He is going to try to tell us why Duke's going to win this game.
Oh, for sure.
Sadly, it's probably going to fall on deaf ears. Let's move on to a game I think is massive, and this will be before that Duke-UNC game. Louisville at number 14, Virginia, Saturday, ESPN, 4 o'clock. What are you seeing in this one, Kelly?
This is a big game for both teams. Very important. Remember, Louisville was ranked last week, then they lost to Clemson, and then they were unranked, and then they just beat Georgia Tech, which is a good win for them at home. I loved the guard play that we saw. Carlick Jones, David Johnson were excellent in that game. The key for Louisville, Samuel Williamson has come out of hiding. He is back. He's really responded well. Chris Mack benched him. Chris Mack is not starting him. He's coming off the bench, and he was great against Georgia Tech. So he's going to be a factor, a very important factor against Virginia because he's a really good athlete, and Virginia is going to have to find a way to slow him down. Virginia has a tough one on NC State. So UVA has a lot more rest, or actually they do not get nearly as much rest as Louisville does coming into this game. They can't look past NC State, and then they've got to host Louisville. Now, Tony Bennett is 11-2 versus Louisville, 6-0 at home. He's never lost to the Cardinals at home. And Louisville, adding on with this Virginia game, has the hardest remaining schedule in the ACC, according to BPI. So every game matters for them. Can Louisville be efficient enough offensively, which they were great against Georgia Tech, so they just need to keep that up. I love what Williamson is bringing. And can they guard UVA's bigs? We've talked about Louisville's bigs inside. They still don't have Malik Williams. Can they slow down Jay Huff? Can they guard him outside in the perimeter? That's going to be a key. But Louisville, the way they scored it against Georgia Tech, I'm feeling good about Louisville in this game. I still kind of have to see how Virginia looks against NC State, but I still would lean Virginia here, Mac, because as much as Virginia struggled against Virginia Tech, it is so hard to beat Virginia at home.
And it's hard to bet against Tony Bennett. And also you're saying, you know, Louisville, the offense looking great. They're about to run into a buzzsaw in this Virginia defense. And again, when teams lose, you see them react differently. You see them bounce back. And even going, you know, to back to Dana Evans and this Louisville team losing to NC State, that eventually might be the best thing that ever happened to them this year to recreate a new fire. It'll be interesting to see. Staying on the women's side, as I just brought up Louisville, we've got receiving votes Syracuse, at receiving votes Georgia Tech. And we say receiving votes just to let you guys know they're on the cusp of being ranked. It's a big deal in basketball to be kind of in that RV area.
Remember, there are 350 D1 basketball programs.
Quite a few.
So just think about that. When you're ranked or you're even receiving votes, not saying it's not a big deal to be ranked in football, Mac, but there are a lot of Division I basketball programs.
Yeah, it is a big deal. So that's why we say that. If you guys are kind of scratching your head, used to football numbers, it's a big deal for basketball. And it just means a lot more in terms of seeding and all these different things. So that's why we tell you guys that. So this game, Syracuse at Georgia Tech, Tuesday, 7 p.m., ACC Network Extra. Kelly, this is a big one because of what we just said, two teams receiving votes. Who's going to be number three, basically, in the ACC? That's what this game is for.
They're fighting for third place. NC State and Louisville are definitely at the top. This is a huge game for both teams, especially Georgia Tech, because they've got two more after. This is a heck of a week for Georgia Tech. Tiana Monacacchia for Syracuse. She is the point guard that beat breast cancer last year, and she's just been incredible. 10 or more assists in five of her last six games. Come on. That is crazy. And she has really cut down on her turnovers as well. The big matchup in this one, Lorella Kubai for Georgia Tech. She's one of the best defensive players in the league. Can she guard 6'7" Syracuse freshman Camilla Cardoso, who has been excellent and is averaging a near double-double? And then Syracuse is a team that really likes to run. They want to get out and go. Georgia Tech wants to play in the half court. So styles make fights, as they say. Which team can make the other one play their style of basketball? I think that's going to be the key. This game's in Atlanta. I'm going to go with Georgia Tech in this one, Mac.
Ooh, come on. I like it, guys.
I'm all in on Georgia Tech.
That's right.
You,
I know you are.
Both are women and men. I love both.
I tell you
teams.
What, though, LaChina Robinson, she seems to be all in on Georgia Tech, too. So we'll see. We'll find out. They have a huge week, three massive games, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. It's going to be a big test for Georgia Tech. Guys, Kelly mentioned it earlier. Make sure you go and vote in our Sunshine Poll question of the week. You can find that on Twitter. All you have to do is vote. Tell us why, or if you don't like any of the options, tell us what it should be, and you automatically are entered to win some free Sunshine beverages. We'll be sure to ship that right to you. All right, Kelly, it's time for the speed round. We've got to be quick on this one. I just want one, maybe two thoughts on each of these games. Starting on the men's side, we've got North Carolina at Clemson tonight, 7 p.m., ACC Network. Tell me what you think is going to happen.
Mac, Clemson is a shell of itself. I don't know what is going on, all right? But the confidence is not there. Clemson has to find a way to get their confidence back. And against North Carolina, they have to find a way to rebound the ball. Clemson is undersized. We talked about how they play four out, one in. Normally, Amir Sims is your five man. He's 6'9". So they're going to have to find a way to rebound with Brooks and Baycott and Sharp. And this game is really a case of COVID pause gone wrong, because Clemson was supposed to play North Carolina on January 9th when the Tigers were rolling. UNC was struggling. Now they're playing today on February 2nd. UNC is rolling. Clemson is struggling. So really, it's a COVID pause gone right for North Carolina, but gone wrong for Clemson. The Tigers have a much easier schedule in February. This is one of their last really tough games. If they can win this game, Clemson's going to feel like they're back on track. I just don't feel good for the Tigers in this game, Mac, because North Carolina is so dominant on the glass and they're playing with supreme confidence.
Do you expect to see PJ Hall, Amir Sims at the same time just to be able to keep up? Because again, UNC is big and they are not going to play to Clemson's scheme. They're not going to play to Clemson's size. They're going to have their bigs in there banging.
Mac, it's a great question. I would love to see more PJ Hall. I feel like he's looked like a freshman recently, and it's very understandable. Look, you didn't even get a full offseason. You didn't get a bunch of non-conference games. I think you'll have to see some PJ Hall to keep up, but I also think Clemson will utilize John Bayer a little more and make him sit inside and guard some of those bigs. Bayer has size. He's 6'8". He's been injured in his career. He's been a guy that can rebound the ball, and he's rebounded the ball better earlier in the season. I think you're going to have to see more from him defensively in this game.
I love it. I love it. Let's move on. Number 16, Virginia Tech at Pitt. That'll be Wednesday, 7 p.m. on RSN. Look, we've got a battle of my ACC player of the year versus your ACC player of the year. What do you think? What are we going to see in this game?
Mac, I love this. This is the Kelly versus Mac
winner take all. That's all I'm going to say.
Champagne versus Aluma. And, you know, I saw a stat about Champagne that he hasn't played well against ranked teams, but I didn't even want to put that in there because Pitt hasn't played a ranked team all season. So those stats are from previous years. And Champagne has been so good this season. Now, Pitt hasn't played a ranked team. As we have mentioned, they did play North Carolina tough. They did beat Duke, but those teams aren't ranked. So this is Pitt's toughest test of the season, and they get them at home. But Virginia Tech is so hot right now. So let's say Champagne and Aluma kind of cancel each other out, which I believe they do because they're both excellent, even though Aluma versus ranked teams this year is averaging nearly 21 points per game. I mean, he's been balling. But the key here, Virginia Tech's guards are greater than Pitt's guards. I like what Pitt's guards have done. They're a good group, but Virginia Tech's guards have been playing really well. So I'm going to lean Virginia Tech on this game, or in this game. And I feel weird, Matt, because I'm picking a lot of road teams, which doesn't feel very good. But I think Virginia Tech should win this.
In unnormal times, I think that picking unnormal things like that makes a lot of sense. Let's go over to the women's side. Notre Dame at what will soon to change number one Louisville. That'll be Sunday, 2 p.m. ESPN. Do you think Louisville has, like a statement bounce back? What are you feeling from the cards?
Well, this is an interesting game because we'll see how Louisville responds after a loss. NC State just lost to Virginia Tech, and they came out firing against Louisville. Now, they lost without Kunane, but still. So sometimes a loss can really hurt a team's confidence, but sometimes it can fire you up. And I expect Louisville to be ready to go. But they did show some weaknesses, and Notre Dame is a bubble team right now. This is a classic rivalry that hasn't been very competitive recently, but it's still a rivalry game. Notre Dame, if they can get a signature win, that would be huge for their resume. So both teams have a lot to play for. Louisville should win this, but Notre Dame is very talented. They have shooters everywhere. This is going to be a tough test for Louisville.
No doubt. Well, it'll be interesting to see, again, just the mindset of Louisville. And are they, a true championship contender? That's where you see teams face adversity, the way they respond. All right, moving on to the last game that we have in the speed round, Clemson at Georgia Tech, who we told you guys receiving votes. That game Thursday, 7 p.m., ACC Network Extra. Kelly, the Tigers are streaky right now. They're feeling good. They have some big wins. Georgia Tech obviously playing very well. What do you think we're going to see from this game?
Well, I think something we need to pay more attention to in ACC hoops, both men's and women's, is the layoff that these teams have had. So when one team is playing on rest and one team isn't, keep an eye on that. That's what happened with Miami Duke on Monday night, and that's what happened with Louisville, Georgia Tech. On the men's side. Here on the women's side, Georgia Tech will have just played Tuesday. Now they're playing Thursday. Clemson has been resting. Clemson came off a great win over Wake Forest. Big win for their program to try to continue to get signature wins and get on the bubble. Last time these two played was on January 7th. Georgia Tech dominated the game. That's when Kubai had 20 rebounds. Kubai had 20 of Georgia Tech's 38 rebounds in that game. So the key here is rebounding for Clemson. But I think it comes down to each of these teams' big threes. For Clemson, it's Delisha Washington, Kendall Spray, and Gabby Elliott. For Georgia Tech, Lorella Kubai, Lodamai Lawton, and Kiera Fletcher. Which big three can be more consistent in this game? But keep an eye on an upset here, just because even though this game is in Atlanta, Georgia Tech will have just played at Syracuse. Then they have to come back to Atlanta and get ready for Clemson. You may call me a homer in this pick. I get it. Well, actually, I'm sorry. Georgia Tech is playing at home on Tuesday, so that's better. That's better for them. You may call me a homer, but I think Clemson gets this done. I really do. I think Georgia Tech is primed for a loss. I think Tech beats Syracuse, but then loses to the Tigers on Thursday night, and that would be a massive win for Clemson's tournament resume.
Come on. I love it, and we'll see what happens. Obviously, a huge week of basketball. Huge guest again, just to remind you guys before Kelly closes us out here. Cannot wait to have Carlos Boozer join the show, our literal and figurative biggest guest so far. Cannot wait to have Mr. Booz join the show on Thursday.
Mac, I love that you said that. When I met Booz in person for the first time, I was like, this guy's huge. I mean, I've met some big dudes, but Booz is that dude. He is the best. I can't wait. This podcast is produced by Richmond Weaver. We appreciate his great work. Check out his podcast, Rich Take on Sports, where he interviews a bunch of very interesting guests in the sports world on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods.
Guys, that's it. Thank you for listening to this episode of Gramlich and MacLean, brought to you by our great friends over at Traeger Grills. And as always, if you haven't already, go over to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, drop us a little 5-star rating, a little review. We'd be great to hear from you guys. But until next time, we'll see y'all.